The topic for today is surviving life with Jesus. There was a story about a young man who had worked for years on the railroad, and he wanted a job as a signalman for that company. So for his interview, he was told to meet the inspector at the signal box. The inspector asked him, "What would you do if you realized that two trains were heading toward each other on the same track?" And the young man said, "Well, that's easy. I would switch the points for one of the trains." The inspector looks at him and then says, "What if the lever broke?" The young man said, "Well, then I'd jump down out of the signal box and I'd use the manual lever over there." And next the inspector said, "What if the lever had been struck by lightning?" The young man thought about it for a minute, then he said, "I would run to the signal box and phone the next signal box to let them know what was happening." And so the inspector continues on and he says, "What if the phone was busy?" And the young man said, "Well, in that case, I would rush down out of the signal box and use the public emergency phone at the crossing up there." Then the inspector said, "What would you do if the public emergency phone had been vandalized?" And the young man thought about it and thought about it. He says, "Oh, well, I guess I would run into town and I would get my uncle." Now, that answer kind of puzzled the inspector, and he said, "Why would you go get your uncle?" And the young man answered, "That's simple, because he's never seen a train crash before." Too many people today feel that their life is headed toward a crash. Their life feels like two trains headed directly toward each other, and there's really nothing they can do to stop it from happening. For them, a crash seems inevitable. The crash may be a personal crash in a marriage or at work. The crash may be a financial crash or an employment crash. Whatever it is for them, life seems to have come unglued and untracked. They feel as if they are partly on track, partly off track. The final decision of where they will end up is yet to be decided. Could that be how you feel today? Maybe you feel as if you have gotten off track. Maybe you feel that something is missing in your life and you just don't know what it is. Maybe you feel like you are about to crash. Let me ask you, is there a way out? Is there any hope? Are there any answers? Is there any way to stop the crash before it happens? I want you to listen to me very carefully at this point. If you don't hear anything else that I say today, please hear this. By all means, there is hope. Let me say that again. There is hope. There is an answer. There is a way out. A crash in your life does not have to happen. Where do we find that answer? Where do we turn? How do we stop that crash? We will not discover the hope, or we will not discover the answer by reading our horoscope. We will not find the answer by calling a psychic hotline. You know, I always thought that if those people really were psychic, wouldn't they know that I needed help? And wouldn't they call me instead of me having to call them? We will not find our hope by consulting a fortune cookie or by picking up a self-help book at the bookstore. So if the answers are not found in those places, where are the answers to be found? Simple. The answers to life's questions are found in Jesus Christ. The Bible, God's Word, tells us that Jesus came to earth, sent by God our Heavenly Father, so that we might experience true life. Jesus came so that we could know true happiness. Jesus came so that we could know true peace, true joy, and true fulfillment. Jesus came so that we could genuinely know God and have a personal relationship with Him. Now, unfortunately, rather than turning to God, rather than giving their life to Jesus Christ, too many people find themselves wandering helplessly through life. They are lost, they're confused, and they're going through a maze of discouragement and doubt. Again, it could be that is where you find yourself today. Maybe you feel as if you are headed toward disaster and you do not see a way out. In Mark chapter 10, Jesus gives us an example of a man who must have felt the same way as many of us, but who had his life turned around by the power of Jesus Christ. And in this passage we're about to read, Jesus shows us how one man's life was miraculously changed when he encountered Jesus, his Savior. And by giving us this story, Jesus shows us how our life can be turned around if we come to Him. Now remember, coming to Jesus is the beginning point, both in these verses and in our daily life. The man in the story was named Bartimaeus. If you have a Bible, please turn to your Bibles in Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. Now they came to Jericho, as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, and a great multitude. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. Verse 47. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Verse 48. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Verse 49. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer. Rise, he is calling you." Verse 50. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." Verse 52. Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. What can we learn from Bartimaeus? Bartimaeus was a man, by any count, who had very little going for him. Mark tells us that Bartimaeus was stranded on the outskirts of Jericho. He may have even lived on the streets. There did not seem to be any kind of changes on the way in his life. There did not seem to be any way for him to break the cycle that he was in. He really did seem to be destined to remain on life's disabled list for all his life. Let's take a look at what caused Bartimaeus' problems. First of all, Mark tells us that Bartimaeus was blind. I cannot begin to fathom what it is to be blind. I can't imagine being unable to see a picturesque sunset, a starlit night, or the smiling face of a child. Mark leads us to believe that Bartimaeus had been blind for some time. And we also know that he was very poor. Because he was blind, he could not work, and he had to depend on others. All Bartimaeus could do was sit along the roadside, begging, hoping that kind-hearted travelers would spare him a few coins. Now, in all honesty, we would have to say that Bartimaeus' future looked pretty gloomy, wouldn't we? It looked pretty hopeless. It looked like he was pretty much destined to have an unhappy future. Now, none of us would deny the fact that Bartimaeus was a pitiful soul. His life seemed very hopeless. He was a man who simply survived. No enjoyment, no happiness, no success, no peace, no joy. Bartimaeus' major concern in life was simple survival. That is, until the day that a special passerby, Jesus the Christ, came along. Jesus gave Bartimaeus something money could not buy, a gift that would change his life forever. Now, what can we learn from Bartimaeus? What can we learn from him that will help us get plugged into the plan that God has for our life? How can we move beyond merely surviving and start thriving in our life? I'd like to share with you three ways. First of all, to move from surviving to thriving in Christ, we must learn to capitalize on the opportunities that God provides for us. Bartimaeus did just that. Look back at the scriptures. Once Bartimaeus discovered that Jesus was close to him, he shouted out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, what do you think triggered that request? Was he simply begging as he always had done? How did he know that Jesus had these miraculous powers? How did he know that Jesus was coming? I don't know for sure. But however he knew about Jesus, Bartimaeus sensed that he had an opportunity to get help, and he acted upon that opportunity. Bartimaeus pleaded with Jesus. He begged with Jesus. And little did he know that his request would turn out to be his best request ever. Bartimaeus capitalized on the opportunity that was placed before him by God. In Mark chapter 10, verse 17 to 31, Jesus told us about another man who was looking for an opportunity. Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 31. Now as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Verse 18. So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one. That is God." Verse 19. "You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." Verse 20. And he answered and said to him, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." 21. The Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go your way. Sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me." Verse 22. But he was sad at this word, and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God." Verse 24. And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered and said to them, "Children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Verse 26. And they were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, "Who then can be saved?" 27. But Jesus looked at them and said, "With men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible." Then Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left all and followed you." Verse 29. So Jesus answered and said, "Assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's." Verse 30. Who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution in the age to come eternal life? Verse 31. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. In these verses, Jesus tells us about a rich young ruler. A rich young ruler came to him with several questions about life. And Jesus presented him with an opportunity, just like he did with Bartimaeus. Jesus tells this rich young ruler to go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. Here was the opportunity. Jesus told him to sell what he had, then to follow Jesus. Now notice what happened to this rich young ruler. Tragically, the young man went away sad. He refused the Lord's offer. Why? Why would a person do such a thing? Why would a person churn from Jesus' offer? The answer is painfully simple. To the rich young ruler, temporary wealth meant more than eternal life. He wanted to keep what he had, what he owned, rather than follow Jesus. How many of you recognize the name Levi Strauss? Most of you do. Levi Strauss really has become a very household name today. However, his name is not known the way that Mr. Strauss wanted it to be known. Like many other men in the 1840s and the 1850s, Levi Strauss went to California. He was hoping to make his fortune in gold. Now, he did make a fortune, but not the way that he had planned. Strauss left his home with a load of heavy canvas fabric. He had planned to sell his fabric for tents and for wagon covers. And when Strauss set up his place of business, the first miner who came in said, "You should have brought pants." Strauss, who had been in California for only a few days, had no idea what the miner meant. So the miner explained to him that there weren't any pants strong enough to endure these very tough conditions of mining for gold. So what did Strauss do? He immediately took the heavy canvas fabric that he had brought with him and he made the miner a pair of work pants. Within days, Levi Strauss had struck gold. Not the bright, shiny gold found in the ground or the rivers, but the gold of opportunity. And that's how the Levi jeans were born. There's an important truth that we must understand at this point. Opportunities only become opportunities when we embrace them as opportunities. God may offer, and He may offer, and He may offer something to us. However, if we refuse to accept it, that opportunity will be missed. An opportunity must be seized, it must be grabbed, it must be accepted, it must be taken. Bartimaeus accepted the opportunity that was presented by Jesus, whereas the rich young ruler did not accept that opportunity. Today, before every one of us is a door of opportunity. Today, God could be calling you to accept Him as your Lord and Savior. Today, God could be calling you to recommit yourself to a walk with Him. Today, there may be a place of service in the church that God wants you to fill. Maybe God is calling you to a teaching position in our church. Maybe God is calling you to get involved in preaching the gospel to our community. Maybe you know a lost person who needs Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord and is now ready to open to the gospel. Listen to me. If you feel the nudging of the Holy Spirit, if God is placing an opportunity before you, you have two choices. If we follow the example of Bartimaeus, we will seize the moment. We will grab the opportunity. We will follow Him. However, if we follow the example of the rich young ruler, we will allow other things to hinder the opportunity. Beloved, thriving means capitalizing on our God-given opportunities. Secondly, to move from just thriving to surviving to thriving in Christ, we must learn to minimize the negative voices that are all around us. Now we notice the crowd's reaction when Bartimaeus cried out for help. Mark said many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. You see, the crowd had stereotyped Bartimaeus. In their eyes, he would never be anything more than just a plain old simple blind beggar. In their eyes, he would never be anything but poor. The crowd thought that their question was fair. Why would this rabbi, why would this teacher want to waste his time with such an outcast? Don't we do the same thing today? We judge people by what we see on the outside. Usually we do that with children. It could be that we feel that way about today's youths and children. We see them and we judge them by what we see on the exterior. The baggy clothes, the unkempt appearance, the apparent indifference to authority. To look at them, we would say that they will never amount to anything. Adults, I hope you listen. It may have been some time since we were teenagers and children, but times have not really changed that much. Think back to how your parents felt about the way you dressed, how you wore your hair, or the friends that you kept. Think back to the way you resisted authority. And children, I'm not going to tell you to resist all authority or to rebel against your parents. However, I'm going to tell you, don't give in to being stereotyped by others. You really do not have to give in to the peer pressure in your school. You don't have to give in to the peer pressure in your neighborhood or even in church. Bartimaeus was judged because he was blind, poor, and did not seem to fit into society. He was talked about, rejected, and put down because he was not like the others. However, we can appreciate Bartimaeus' reaction. Did you notice what he did? Bartimaeus persisted. He would not give up. Mark said he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Bartimaeus was not going to let a bunch of negative, critical, heckling bystanders rob him of his dream of sight. There's a similar story to this in the Old Testament of the Bible. In 1 Samuel chapter 7, we were told how David overcame the voices of opposition. And 1 Samuel tells us that Israelites and the Philistines were getting ready for battle. And as they were, David, the future king of Israel, he brought food from home for his brothers. And when David's oldest brother, Eliab, saw him and said, "Why have you come down here?" David also got the same response when he later volunteered to fight Goliath. Saul said, "You're not able to go out against the Philistines and fight him. You're just only a boy." However, despite their negativity, David would not give up. He insisted that he be given a chance to fight. And we know the story where he killed Goliath with a stone. Listen to me. We must never try to please those who will criticize us. Why? Simply, we will never be able to please them. Young people, you are going to be criticized often as you grow up. You're going to be criticized by your friends if you don't listen to them. You're going to be criticized by your parents if you do listen to your friends. And I can tell you it is so difficult not to listen to that criticism. But listen to me. As you are criticized, as you face the negative crowd, follow the example of Bartimaeus and David. Use it. Grow from it. Move forward despite it. Don't let it hold you back. Seize the opportunities placed before you by God. Don't be limited by the negative criticism of others. And finally, if we are to move from simply surviving to thriving in Christ, we must learn to exercise the faith that is available to us. Notice that Bartimaeus' boldness grabbed Jesus' attention. His boldness, his enthusiasm were almost impossible to miss. Now let me quickly add that we should make no mistake about it. The reason that Jesus healed Bartimaeus was not because of his boldness, but because of his faith. It was Bartimaeus' faith that triggered Jesus' healing power. Jesus said to Bartimaeus, "Go, your faith has healed you." However, Bartimaeus knew exactly what he wanted. And for that reason, he did not hesitate to speak to the Lord about it. But listen, through prayer, we have this same privilege. Let's read Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Jeremiah 33, verse 3. The Old Testament, Jeremiah, chapter 33, verse 3. "Call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." Also, Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 4, New Testament, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known to God." Prayer. We have the same privilege. But we must be careful here. Requesting something of Jesus or speaking to Jesus is not enough. You see, the rich young ruler did that, but yet he remained unchanged. Complete faith is obedient faith. Mark tells us that when Bartimaeus received his sight, he followed Jesus along the road. Can you imagine the testimony that his eyesight must have been as he told others the impact that Jesus had in his life? You know, I once read a testimony. It was about a missionary in a very isolated area of Africa who performed surgery on a poor blind man. The surgery was successful and his sight was restored. Several days after the operation, the man disappeared from the hospital. And everyone was quite concerned for his well-being. And then a few days later, the missionary opened his door, and there stood the man who had been operated on. The man was holding a rope. On the other end of the rope were 10 more blind people. Listen, genuine faith is contagious faith. Genuine faith cannot wait to tell others, to point others to God, to follow Jesus. We must stop settling for less. Stop muddling through life, partly on track, partly off track. Don't just survive life. Thrive with life with Jesus Christ. Thrive through Jesus Christ and your faith in Him. Amen.